What's going on, Black Is family? This is Brother Malcolm, and welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. We are, as you may or may not know, presently in the middle of a campaign, a fundraising campaign for Culture Connection, because we're going to the UK. I'm going to see the Queen, y'all. I'm going to see the Queen, Her Majesty herself. I'm excited to go see the Queen, and I'm just very happy. Someone's giggling on the side. That must be my cultural attaché. No, I'm just
Look, ladies and gentlemen, I thought you was going to call me the cultural overseer.
Oh, I like that. Cultural overseer, the head negress in charge, ladies and gentlemen, Sister KC Layman on the ones and twos.
Hi, family. How you guys doing?
So, again, we want to thank everybody for their generous support of Culture Connection UK. Please continue to support with your words of encouragement, your finances. We are on Indiegogo.com. We still got about 17 days. Well, by the time this comes out, maybe 15 days left of the campaign. People have been extremely generous. And we're going to take Culture Connection global. So thank you. Shout out to the Center Theater Group family. A lot of my coworkers have been great and supported. Shout out to the family and friends of Culture Connection. I won't go into names because there are so many of you. But I will give a huge shout out to two of our I'm not going to do names. I'm not going to do it. You get into trouble. You'll get thanked in the video and the documentary short. If you don't know anything about what I'm talking about, please go to Indiegogo.com or here on the site. We'll have a link to the campaign and more information about Culture Connection in the UK. Today we want to talk about, Casey and I had the privilege of going to see a movie that recently came out, and we thought we should talk about this because we both have been, it was so good, but it was very disturbing.
I'm still scared. The news has not helped at all.
If you have not seen, today's topic is about the film by extraordinary filmmaker Antoine Fuqua.
Yes, yes.
Known as Olympus Has Fallen. And it's starring the great Negro himself, Morgan Freeman. What's Love Got to Do with It? Angela Bassett. We've also got, I keep calling him David Duchovny, but that's not his name, the guy from Friends.
Got me.
We here on Culture Connection did not watch Friends. I'm somebody who didn't watch Seinfeld either. So sorry. Don't know any of the characters. I know the guy from Seinfeld went on a nigga ranch. Not ranch. Rant is what I meant to say.
But
I know Seinfeld is filthy rich. But Friends, I guess that's Jennifer Aniston came from that show. I don't know. Sorry for those. There are people who are fans.
And that sounds right.
Okay. But anyway, we saw this movie, and it's funny because I know somebody who worked on the film, and when they saw it, they told me, you know, it's a really good film, but he said it made me nervous. Mm-hmm. And I won't tell you everything about the film, but basically the premise is that the White House is overtaken by terrorists, particularly Korean terrorists. Mm-hmm. And as someone who lives in Koreatown, I am like, wow, I wonder if there's some Korean terrorist cells chilling on my block. when it goes down, they're coming for Brother Malcolm.
Yeah, and before we go too deep into this, spoiler alert, people, we won't give everything away, but we will be talking about the film.
So yeah. If you have not seen it, shut this off, come back to it after you've seen the film.
Yeah.
The film starts off with this film starts off so tragically.
Yes.
Oh my God! I mean, it's so heavy at the beginning when basically the first family is at Camp David and they're on their way to a Christmas evening or a ball or something, and the weather is terrible near Camp David, and it's so bad that the president's what do they call it? The Beast. They call the president's vehicle the Beast. The Beast slides and skids on this bridge and is dangling off a bridge. And in the first 10 minutes of the movie, you lose the First Lady of the United States.
Yep. So, she gets hit because the car has an impact. She gets hit and is kind of dazed. And as the car is dangling, you can see her looking at her husband, but she's really not aware of what's going on
at all.
And he's trying to get her out of the seatbelt.
And let's be clear who the priority is when it comes to Secret Service. One person.
The president.
You could tell, you were like, oh, she's about to die.
Right.
Because they all they cared about was saving
him,
the president, because he's the only one that it matters. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that tripped me out about this movie. Is like, you start to see where all the priorities lie with the administration. When it comes to when you're talking about national security and a national emergency, mm-hmm. it's all about the president.
Yeah. And what was worse is that this was happening in wintertime. So she falls off the cliff into an icy. Right, an icy body of water. It hit with a thud.
It hit like, I mean, there's no surviving.
No.
And the way the way Antoine shot it, you're like, oh, that basically means like there's no saving her.
No,
and there was a helicopter that came immediately in the next shot, but it's like, she is like, I guess your body would freeze immediately.
Or just the impact of your body hitting the ice with the car on top of you.
Oh, right.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
I'm thinking she fell into, yeah.
So we start off with a president who was a single father, a widowed single father.
And then it jumps forward 18 months mm-hmm. later, and you're at the White House, and there's something else going on. And then the way it all just goes down is, it's almost mind-boggling. I actually want to go see it again.
Me too. It was that good.
Because I'm like, wow, there's so much you'll catch.
Yeah.
Because basically these terrorists they're embedded into society.
Yes.
And what happens is there's a prime minister coming. I mean, if you saw, you know, the prime minister from Korea or Japan. Was it Japan?
Korea.
Yeah. Prime minister from Korea is visiting the president. And
And he's coming with his security detail.
His security detail, which his security detail is, they're terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And they kill him, like, as one of their first acts in the movie. It's like, oh no, he's a pawn.
Yeah.
Boop.
To set the stage. What was going on.
It was actually shocking. Like, there were moments in this movie where I was like, oh, I was shocked. I was literally shocked because the way that it's filmed, I think he wants you to immediately feel the fear of the situation.
Yeah. This is a hardcore thriller type of situation.
And it's not like a cheap action film either.
No.
Like, you're getting serious script.
Right.
And script development and character development.
Good actors. Oh. Everybody was solid. God. Everybody carried their weight. And so, like Malcolm said, from the moment that the prime minister is murdered, you know, in front of
Are they in the bunker already by that time?
They're in the bunker and
right. Oh, right. Because because basically they find out. Oh, God, it's so good. Basically, they find out that an aircraft has entered restricted space, and that's when you knew something was going to go down. Because
right.
You're like, in case you don't know, in D.C., like anything near the White House, that's all of D.C. is pretty much restricted airspace
mm-hmm.
because it's the capital of the country and mm-hmm. it's where the president lives.
Mm-hmm.
So like nothing's just flying over. Like everything that flies into Reagan National or Dulles, it's flying on a weird out of the way of the path of the White House. And it's so basically this plane enters the space and the airspace, and you knew, you're like, oh, this is something's about to seriously go down.
Right.
And when that happens, and I was loving this part of the movie because you got to see what the tactics are for the president. I mean, obviously they're not giving you all the secrets away of how the president evacuates or whatnot, but everybody knows that there is I think it's 200 feet underground. There's the president's bunker so he can survive a nuclear blast and all that stuff.
There's passages and tunnels.
Like, that's not secret, but where they go and how you access them, that's all secret.
Yeah.
And I think what's kind of amazing about it is, like, he basically decides to take the prime minister with him. And it's almost like they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that he was going to take the prime minister with him into the bunker, which is against protocol. He's just supposed to go with only the staff
that
are supposed to evacuate.
But wasn't the situation he was trying to negotiate some sort of peace situation?
Right, so it would have looked bad anyway. It
would
have looked bad if he had left him. So he brought him with him.
Right.
And we didn't even realize that his detail was the terrorist. So the security detail with the prime minister, as they basically go into the bunker with the enemy.
And take over, excuse me.
And completely
take over.
And let me just tell you, I want you to go see the film.
Yes, let's not ruin it.
There's so much more to this movie, but that's just a good setup for that. And I wanted to talk about this because we just thought how apropos that. Well, you know, it's interesting. This is Culture Connection, so I'm always going to bring it back to the artistic statement. And I just think it's a perfect example of art imitating life.
Yes.
Because what's going on right now in the world with North Korea, I mean, honestly, I was going to put on Facebook the other day, is anybody as concerned as I am about these threats that Korea, like,
right.
Back in the day in America, when, like, the Cuban Missile Crisis, they had, like, commercials running, like, what would you do in case, or like World War II, what would we do in case we were attacked? Like, where would you run? Shelters. Like, what they would do drills on playground yards. And I'm like, this is either we've got this really under control and they're not trying to scare the American public, or something could go down and they just are going to, I don't know. What are your thoughts? Because I feel, I'm a little nervous that we're not, as a country, not being told how serious this is. They have access to nuclear weapons.
Right. I think one of the problems is that when 9/11 happened, that was the U.S. showing the world how vulnerable it can be because we were so, what appeared to be, easily penetrated. I remember the measures, the things that used to happen back in the day in regards to when we were in school and what would happen, what would you do if we were attacked. And I think it's partly U.S. trying to maintain its image, not so much worldwide, but to its own people. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to worry about this sort of thing. We're the United States. We're the baddest country in the world. We don't have to worry about anything happening. But we still remember how vulnerable this country was and still is.
And how naive of us to really think that we couldn't be damaged. I mean, obviously 9/11 proved that. But for me, particularly though, because we Black is hosted based on the West Coast and the missiles are aimed at the West Coast. So if Black is Online is not with you in a few weeks, you don't know why. If you have not heard a podcast or a Culture Connection in 3 weeks, check Facebook. If we have not posted, we have probably gone up in the nuclear holocaust.
I just think the U.S. likes to believe that it has so many situations on lock in regard to, you know, attacks by terrorist groups or any enemies of the United States. I remember having this conversation with, I think it was family members. We were talking about the movie and the idea of us getting attacked by terrorists in this way. And somebody was like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. If somebody even remotely thinks about trying to, you know, push the button on a nuclear weapon, you know, the United States will shut it down. And I'm like, yeah, we have the history of shutting it down. But do I feel confident that that would be the case, that we would know ahead of time, we would get the intelligence ahead of time to be able to shut something down before it started?
Right, exactly.
I don't think that we're that powerful. Like, we're just not. We're a powerful country, but like I said, we've been penetrated. We've been attacked. So the fact that we've been attacked successfully in recent years, this is not a situation I think we should sleep on.
And I think what's also interesting, I don't take for granted that, you know, they've obviously, I mean, this isn't the first
threat.
And this is also isn't the first film that sort of has this apocalyptic, you know, between Armageddon, Independence Day, what's that one where the world freezes over because of global warming? The end of the last day. Which one is it? You remember which one?
Is it
I'm
end of
about?
Days?
It was the one. It came out like 2 or 3 years ago, and basically something happens with the weather, and like it was that one where the Statue of Liberty was getting. That wave comes over the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, and knocks it over. I don't remember the name.
But anyway, I mean, so the point I'm trying to make is that this isn't the first time we've seen this type of movie where this isn't the first time we see these type of movies that sort of depict that scenario in the United States or in the world. And I think it's kind of fascinating when the order of the day, whether it's in current events or it's the environment, and that, you know, artists, because filmmakers are artists, choose to either recreate a scenario or choose to just shed light on a scenario. And I think that that's sort of the power of creativity. So, I mean, it's just interesting because, you know, obviously with the Kim Jong situation in North Korea, and just that's obviously been something that's been on the United States radar. United States' radar, excuse me. And so for editing purposes. That's obviously been on the United States' radar. So I think that it's no coincidence, basically. You know, sometimes what happens is I think filmmakers and artists just are like, this is what's happening. I want to create a story about it.
Right.
But I love this idea that, like, literally art imitates life. And the same thing, life will imitate art. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we just hope that life does not imitate this art.
Please.
Please, life, don't imitate this art.
This because plan was so slick.
It was so well crafted. But you have to, the other thing I also took solace in is the fact that obviously if this is a film being made, this is a scenario that they've already gone through. Right. You know what I mean? Because I don't know if this is the case, but I have to assume, and we should ask our filmmaker friends, when you do something, a film that has to do with like national security, if like the script and everything has to be approved by the White House.
Interesting. I don't know.
Because they go deep into the White House. And I learned that this set was built. Oh, they filmed this. Where did they film this? Somewhere in the South, I believe. They recreated the whole White House, the lawn, all of that in a different state.
Okay.
The set.
Right.
It was just literally built. So it's a really well done production. And, you know, shout out to Antoine Fuqua and just his brilliance and his artistry. And we really want to encourage people to support, obviously, Black filmmakers, Black artists. Someone asked me, somebody told me that they thought it would have been interesting if Angela Bassett played the Speaker of the House.
That would have been interesting. I think I would have enjoyed that.
Wouldn't that have been great? Mm-hmm. And Morgan Freeman was the Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole scene where she gets up in the general's, Speaker of the House gets in the general's face. I'm like, oh, that would have been an interesting dynamic to have a woman who was the acting president have to deal with that machismo in the room. But for me, I love these kind of films that sort of show us. It's like it was like an insider's view.
Yeah.
I mean, the situation, the war room, like what how it goes down, kind of reminded me of the, you know, I saw an expose on, you know, how they killed bin Laden and the pictures of the president. He had just, you know, he was just at the correspondents' dinner telling jokes, and all the while the mission was starting to take was in action in Pakistan. You know, that's it for this week. We're going to keep it light. We got a few interviews coming up for you in the next few weeks, certainly before Culture Connection heads across the pond. And I'm so grateful again for all the support, and we are very thankful for your love and support of Black Is. Please continue to support the 15-minute break, the Brothers Lehman Happy Hour. Hit us up on Twitter. Callie Yaley is the Twitter handle. Our hashtag is Culture Connection UK. You can find us at blackisonline.com. Our phone number is
323-455-4219. And I just want to make mention, since we're talking about film, that this weekend another wonderful film project is coming out on Friday, April the 5th, and that is Free Angela and All Political Prisoners, a story of Angela Davis. I heard it is absolutely amazing. I don't know where it all is. I don't know if it's releasing nationwide. I'm hoping so.
It's an AMC, but is it like a strictly AMC release?
It seems to be a strictly AMC release. And just to give you a brief synopsis of the film, it says a documentary that chronicles the life of young college professor Angela Davis and how her social activism implicates her in a botched kidnapping attempt that ends with a shootout, 4 dead, and her name on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. It sounds amazing. It's just under 2 hours. Check it out in the theater near you.
Please help me remember the documentary we went and saw as a Black Is family.
We went to go see, we saw a couple of things. We saw
the
Black Power mixtape.
Black Power mixtape. I want to talk about Black Power mixtape because Black Power mixtape had one of the most powerful scenes I've ever seen in film or in a documentary, and it was with Angela Davis talking about being Black and being a political prisoner and what that is, and about fear and death and being afraid. And it's one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. And she talks about this experience that Free Angela actually, I guess, expounds upon in the movie. But she talks about that for a moment in Black Power Mixtape. So if you haven't seen that, please check out that film.
Absolutely.
But we're going to go see Free Angela and All Political Prisoners. So we hope that you will, too. And just, again, shout out to all Black filmmakers doing their thing in the industry, on the independent circuit, and on the studio circuit. We support you. We love you. And we're there for you. So if you ever have a project that is going into release, or you know, you just want to talk to us about something that you possibly want to get a little bit more attention on, feel free to hit us up and we can talk and let's see if we can get an interview going. Now, if this is your thesis project at NYU Film School, I love you, but we can't do that. We can talk about it, but I don't know if I can dedicate a whole episode to every Tom, Dick, and Keisha.
Sorry, on Keisha.
On that note, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And on that note, peace.
Like that.